Hey everybody, what's up? This is another episode of Juggalo June. I'm here with my new best friend Aaron from ICP with We. Butcher's not here still. I can't locate him. I can't find him. He's gone. I think this is my podcast now. Look out for the new name change next week. I'll get more into details later. How are you, Aaron? How's your day?
You know what? I am very well. And ladies and gentlemen, if you've seen The Butcher, as the popular title to the Deftones song, let us know.
I'm also just looking for a new co-host. You don't gotta be The Butcher. You can just text me and say that you're down to do this like every week or two, and I'll let you do it.
Could somebody submit a Butcher impression to sort of just fill in the gap, like right off the bat, you know?
You just gotta be loud and goofy. Like, that's okay. What it's gonna be. Yeah, so if you are looking for another job after ICP with We ends, let me know.
Fair enough.
We don't get paid, but it's really fun. Also, I have to do all the audio work, so it'll be just like ICP with We.
Very true. I mean, yeah, see, that's the thing. I was listening to your episode with Eric, my co-host, that was released, I guess, a few weeks ago. Is that correct?
It was released last week, I think.
Last week. Okay. And you're explaining your roles in the podcast, and I'm like, yep, I'm the Butcher. I'm Butcher. Like, that's definitely me.
Yeah, you get to show up and look pretty for an hour and some change, and then you get to go home.
Sometimes I don't even do that. We don't do cameras on our show, so I just will show up shirtless, maybe in underwear sometimes, you know?
See, that's the life. And, like, we used, in the start of our show, we did cameras so we could, like, get a better flow of conversation because it's easier when you're looking at somebody. But at some point in the middle area, we fell off of doing cameras, and then we just recently started doing them again, maybe seven episodes ago. And, like, now I have to look presentable.
So now let me ask you, what is your prior relationship with your co-host, like, before you started the podcast?
Oh, is this my interview?
This is my show. This is welcome to I am Butcher Talks. I'm Butcher 2, and this is Butcher Talks. I don't know.
One, I'm glad you picked up on the Butcher Talk thing. That's on every fucking episode that he's on. Except for one where we couldn't get the guy to stop telling a story. Yeah, I met Zach Butcher through a mutual friend of ours in the Ohio music scene named Joseph Lord. I made a dumb tweet about wanting to start a band that does exactly what Zach Butcher's old band did. Uh-huh. And Joe Lord was like, hey man, you should check out this band and talk to this guy. And then sometime a year or so later, Zach Butcher and I just started talking more and talking more, like, every day. And then I got added to his family group chat with his, like, dad and his, like, uncle and, like, that.
Oh, that's fun. Yeah.
And then Butcher was like, hey, so I used to do this thing called Butcher Bordello Blood. I wrote it as a, like, weekly paper thing, like, in, like, text interviews. And I wanted to start doing a podcast. Would you be down? And now I go down for, like, Thanksgiving to his family's house. And, like, I just drive down, like, the 3.5 hours to visit and hang out with him and his family every so often.
That's badass. That's really badass.
We kind of just fell into this whole best friend thing, even though neither of us will tell you personally we're best friends. I'm breaking kayfabe. We are. We're friends.
I feel you. So you guys met through events that were kickstarted by you making a joke tweet.
Yeah. Basically, I said that I want to start a band that only writes about horror movies and personal trauma. And our friend Joseph was like, boy, do I have a band for you.
Fuck yeah. Can I say fuck?
Yes, man.
Awesome.
Come on.
I figured I could. I always feel the need to ask.
There's an episode where we interview one of our friends fresh off of, like, releasing a movie called Barf Bunny. And 80% of the movie is this very cool. Oh, she also guested on the podcast. It's just her throwing up. So, like, if that's,
oh, hell,
if we can
yeah.
say that. We can talk, we can say fuck. So basically the first questions are, what is your first memory of horror?
My first memory of horror, I think, would have to be around Halloween time of, it's probably 6-7 years old, I would say. I grew up in a household that was very much so fun, cute Halloween rather than scary Halloween. And because of that, myself, much like my co-host who was interviewed last week, I didn't grow up around horror. I was encouraged to wear more fun Halloween costumes than to want to dress up as something scary. And I remember I was probably 6-7 years old. I was at Party City with my mom going to get my costume. And I wanted to, I think there's a scary mask that I just was drawn to and I really wanted to wear it. And I wanted that to be it. But she said, no, why don't we pick something else? Like, why don't we pick something more fun? That's scary. We don't want to be scary. We want to do something fun. So I was drawn away from that. And because of that, I've never had like a massive love for horror. Now as an adult, I respect the shit out of horror as a genre of everything. Scary stuff, I think it's cool. But growing up, I was just like Eric. I never really did anything like that. I don't know.
I'm going to say, like, one, does Party City still exist near you?
There is two locations I can think of off the top of my head. Do you not have any?
We do, and that's the thing. I want to know if they, like, died out in your area or anything. Because gotcha. Like, we have, like, two, yeah, like, two, like you said, that are just, like, holding on to a thread all year.
Oh, yeah.
Until it's Halloween. And then nobody goes there anyways because Spirit Halloween exists now.
Exactly, and they pop up. I can name four buildings that are normally Spirit Halloweens and two brick and mortar Party Cities.
Right. Spirit Halloween will take over anything. Like, they took over an Ace Hardware over here, like, for some reason.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and they kept the layout too, which was weirder.
Oh, that's strange. A lot of ours are like Best Buys, old Best Buys.
Oh, that's depressing.
Yeah, it is. It is pretty depressing because they still, you know, Best Buy has that very iconic storefront with the big blue, like triangle type structure out front. But you just see a Spirit Halloween banner over, like, just stretched across that.
Ugh. Sometimes, you know? I think I've told this story on the podcast. People who've listened to every episode, which is like two, will remember this. But down about 30 minutes from me used to be a Blockbuster. And, like, they were the fancy Blockbuster with the Game Rush section. Do you remember those?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Okay, so obviously Blockbuster collapsed. We don't go there anymore. So Blockbuster collapses, and, like, 5 years later, Dollar General takes over. And remember the Blockbuster logo, like the ticket stub? There was a big one of those outside the building on a pillar to, like, let you know the Blockbuster's there. And Dollar General just painted it green and put the Dollar General logo over the ticket.
Oh, so there's no.
A big green ticket stub with Dollar General across it till there to this day. And every time I see it, it depresses me a little bit because I miss Blockbuster.
That is upsetting. I miss Blockbuster as well. I really do.
What was your preferred Blockbuster? Were you one of the kids who rented the same movie all the time, or did you just have a variety?
Hell yeah, I was.
What'd you rent?
Good Burger.
You were a Good Burger kid?
Oh, I was a Good Burger kid for real. Yeah, no, I rented that like once a week for probably 2 years straight. I rented that every week. I loved Good Burger.
At one point, did they not just buy you a copy of Good Burger?
You'd think that they fucking would, right? You'd think that they would. I don't know why they didn't. Because every time we would go up, it was always, we had like a family movie, you know, I think it was like Thursday or Friday. My dad or my mom, you know, one of us would take the kids while the other one would deal with dinner, take the kids up to Blockbuster. You know, we'll pick out a movie that we'll watch together. And then each one of the kids would pick out a movie just to have for that, you know, next 4 days or so. And every week I would get the same one. And I don't, they never clued me. I mean, we went through two birthdays, two and two Christmases, and never once did they buy me a fucking copy of Good. But I'm kind of pissed now, if I'm being honest.
Like, they didn't, the were they just not checking what you're getting? Like, were they just like, oh, here he is again?
I don't know how. Kid. Good Burger was a Nickelodeon movie. It was in the bright orange VHS. You know what I'm saying? Like, that was not a black VHS tape. They had to know. There's like, there's one of three options that he's renting every week. Because it had that bright orange VHS. I don't know.
Yeah, the ones I can remember were like, what? Rugrats in Paris, Jimmy Neutron, and Good Burger.
Yeah.
Those are the orange VHS.
That's about it. That's about it. Yeah.
See, that's insane. I was like, I feel like they would have picked up on it and been like, all right, man, stop wasting our $4. Here's Good Burger.
Yeah, here's a copy of Good Burger that I was able to get for $6, probably.
Do you have a copy now that you're an adult with your own money?
I don't know. So I remember specifically when my local Blockbuster announced that it was closing down. And they were having all the sales on all these, you know, DVDs and VHSs and all this, you know, getting rid of their stock. And I specifically remember saying, oh, shit, I'm going to go up there and I'm going to try and get that VHS of Good Burger or a VHS of Good Burger. They had to have a couple. Like, I had to have a couple. I was always able to get it.
I mean, I'm pretty sure it was just you grabbing Good Burger.
You really think it was? Well, okay, so if it was just me that was grabbing Good Burger every day for 2 years, then for some reason, some motherfucker went up there on the store closing right before I got there, said, hey, this movie looks fun. It's never appealed to me in the last 8 years of my fucking life, but I'm going to buy this Good Burger VHS. You know,
there's
what I mean?
The thing, man. It was finally in stock because you fucking returned it.
Is that, see, I should have just, I don't know. I should have just hid it from my parents and kept it. And that would have been their fault for not buying me a copy in the first place, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. You finally would have got your own. But now that it's 2022 and we're grownups, there's a Blu-ray copy that just came out like last year, I think.
Oh, is there really? Oh, yeah, that's fun. Is. Okay. Yeah, so I'm not like a huge physical media guy.
I'm literally looking at a bunch of action figures behind you.
I mean, like DVDs, CDs, vinyl, VHS, that kind of stuff. I love Lego. So behind me, I have a bunch of Star Wars Lego. I love Star Wars. But I do. I think the one. So I have one Juggalo CD.
Just one.
Because I listen to all my stuff on, like, I listen to everything streaming, you know? But behind me, I have...
That hurts my heart, man.
VHS copy of the original trilogy of Star Wars inside my Wedge Antilles helmet.
Is it the untouched one before Lucas started to do things to it?
Yes. Yeah, so from what I bought this sight unseen. I don't even have a fucking VHS player, so I can't even watch them, but...
Buddy, I just bought one yesterday. I have three now. Do you want to come
get one? So I was actually thinking about going on to Amazon and just getting one.
Do you have any like Salvation Armies or Goodwills near you?
Yeah, yeah.
That's where you're going to find a VCR. You're not going to find one for a good price.
Okay. So, okay, but I would still have to get like a shit ton of adapter cables, though, for my TV, right? I would assume.
Do you have like only an HDTV or do you just have like an old school TV?
I just have an HDTV. I'm fancy
gonna,
when it comes to my
media. You're probably
going to
need a converter, yeah. You're going to need something that plugs in the coax cables.
Oh, you know what? Actually, I think I have one for my N64 anyways already, so.
See? If you got one for your N64, you got one for a VCR.
I'm going to have to get a VCR. I'm watching these. But from what I understand researching these, they are this was the last release of the original untouched version. So.
Which is the only form of Star Wars I'd be interested to watch now.
You're breaking my heart. I love everything Star Wars.
Man, growing up, I was a Trek guy. I'm sorry.
Oh, I see. Yeah, can't relate. The only like Star Trek media I've really watched would be the newer movies in theaters.
That hurts.
Yeah, I know. I know nothing about Star Trek.
See, my older brother growing up, I like took his personality and I made it my own. And the only thing I didn't do that with was Star Wars, because he was a massive Star Wars kid, like growing up.
I gotcha.
He's like 13 years older than me, you know, so he like grew up with the originals and like right. that was his jam. And like, I don't know why, but like I saw those and I was like, that's fine. And then I watched like Star Trek, the original series, and was like, oh, this is for me. And like that was the problem. Like that was the one thing I went opposite on him on, is just Star Wars and Star Trek. But everything else, I've taken it and it's mine. It's no longer his.
Yeah, I feel that. I kind of did that same thing with my dad, and my dad was more of a Star Wars, Lord of the Rings guy. Which was badass because I love Star Wars, and yeah, I've kind of fallen off of Lord of the Rings recently.
I mean, what else is there to do with it? Like, it's over. Like, they've made the movies. There's nothing. There's no expanded universe. Tolkien's dead, baby.
Well, isn't Amazon Prime doing a Lord of the Rings TV show, right?
Yeah, they're doing a TV show, but it's the same story. There's nothing new. Oh.
I've heard awful things about that TV show, by the way. It's like, I think it's still in production, or maybe it's in post-production right now, but I've heard it is not great.
Yeah, I haven't even kept up with it. I saw the Lord of the Rings movies about two or three times each, but you right. know, this, eagle-eared listeners remember this story, but, you know, remember that, like, how DVDs had, like, menu music, like, that loops over and over when you stop watching yes. them? I lost my virginity to the ending credits music and looping menu music of The Two Towers. So that movie, I always have to, like, go to hell and battle for it if somebody wants to, like, talk shit about it, but, like, I don't remember a thing about it. Like, that's the secret.
Understandable, yeah.
I just remember that, looping menu music. That's what's engraved in my brain.
I remember, I think I was probably a sophomore in high school, and I went to the movies with this girl. We went to go see Inception, and we ended up spending the entire time in the theater making out because, you know.
So wait, if you're a sophomore in high school, Inception came out when I was like, I don't remember. How old are you?
28, just turned 28.
Yeah, Jesus. Yeah, we're the same age.
Hell
I did
yeah.
not know that. I expect everybody for Juggalo June to be at least like 4 years my senior.
No, yeah, I'm younger than everybody, it seems like, in that circle.
yeah, I turned 28 in like 4 months.
Oh, hell yeah. Okay, yeah, I turned 28 last month. So
happy late birthday.
Good stuff. Oh, hey, thank you so much. Wait, is it last? Yeah, last month.
Happy early birthday to our friend Mike Spawn.
Absolutely. Happy early birthday.
He's going to hate that I said his name like that.
Are we talking? Spoon. Are we talking shit about Mike on my episode, too?
Yeah, I mean, he's never going to listen to him. So
for sure. Yeah, yeah. Fuck say? Mike, right?
Right. Yeah. Fuck Mike. I wish Shmeev would spin it off into his own podcast.
I would listen. I'm just saying, ICP with Wee Shmeev.
That'd be a good show.
That'd be funny. I think it'd be funny. Shmeev. Well, it'd be ICP nice. With Shmeev insinuates it's Shmeev and Violent J and Shaggy, which, by the way, actually would be way better than what I originally thought.
Honestly, I don't think I'd listen to that one. Like, I listen
you don't
to
think
Shmeev.
So?
I'd ask Shmeev for his audio file of his reactions, and that's it.
I would ask him for his audio file for his reactions, and then I would put it over unrelated podcasts.
In fact, you know what? Joe Rogan podcast.
Oh, that would be good. I would take those, and I would put them right over top of every mic check that Mike does. So it's a full JJ episode.
Oh, we'd get rid of his little side project too.
Fuck yeah. Listen, it's taking Shmeev's side project and then just bashing Mike's side project with it. You know what I mean?
That's perfect. But I can't
two
let
birds,
this escape
one stone.
Me. What is the single Juggalo CD you have?
Oh, A Ride of Christmas Holiday.
Is there any reason why it's that one out of all of them?
Yes. So when we reviewed it, I was super into it. I think I scored this one very high. In fact, I still listen to it. Last month, I listened to it a couple times. I don't listen to it super often. Yeah, exactly, because it's in the middle of the summer and it's a holiday album. But I called it my Juggalo Holy Grail on our episode when we reviewed it. And I guess Shmeev, Mike, and Eric, of course, after talking a bunch of shit about Mike, here's a story about how he's a sweetie pie. Shmeev, Mike, and Eric, one of them saw it on the Psychopathic Museum, Juggalo Museum. I forgot what it's called on Facebook.
It's a psychopath museum.
Yeah. One of them saw it on there and got it. They chipped in and got it for me and sent it to me. And then I opened it on one of our collab episodes with them just because it happened to coincide around the same time. But yeah, I have it displayed with all of my empty Faygo bottles in my room. I'm looking at it right now.
So do you want me to break a little bit of kayfabe with your nice story and tell a nice story to you that I'm sure that you know, but
oh, please.
The listener, the audience doesn't. Mr. Mike Spoon is one of our best friends. We love him to death. I went to Camp Zool with him, 2 weeks ago. Great guy. So for as long as I've known him, and most of us have known him besides Shmeev, I guess, because they grew up, they're homies.
Yeah.
Mike has wanted a single fucking CD, the Cryptic Collection Holiday Edition. And I kept making the joke that it's a fucking $300 CD. And I kept making the joke that I'm going to get it for him. And I wasn't joking the entire time. So about 6 months ago, would you say 6 months ago, I gathered about 10 of us of his good homies in a group chat and was like, hey, so let's throw down on this CD for Mike for his birthday this year. And so we did. And a couple nights ago on Friday, Friday, Mike found a cheap cop, a cheap-ish copy of it online and sent it to our group chat and was like, I'm going to buy this. It's finally happening. I'm going to buy it. Not knowing all of us had already gotten him the CD.
Shmeev's been sitting on it for months at this point. We had it for a while.
Yeah, we had it for a very long time. And all of us started to fucking panic. Everybody was sent into an immediate panic of how do we tell Mike not to buy this CD he's wanted for a very long time because we already got it for him for his birthday. So we actually gave it to him early on Friday after we told him to not buy it. I messaged the guy selling it and was like, hey, man, you can't sell it to this guy who's about to ask you to buy it.
Yeah.
And he was like, why? And I was like, because we already bought him one for his birthday and we're waiting to give it to him. And the guy was like, oh, that's really cool of you guys. That's awesome. I'll tell him somebody's already interested in it.
Yeah. And, glad he was a homie about it.
Yeah, for sure. And an hour later, Shmeev sends us a video of him giving it to Mike. And it was one of the most heartwarming things we've seen on that Discord ever.
I loved the video. It was such an adorable video. I watched it twice.
Also, I'm stealing Mike's thunder. He's probably not going to talk about it until the next mic check. But sorry, buddy. I had to get it out there.
Yeah, no, it had to be out.
The crossover of Juggalo Judgment fans and Butcher Bordello Blood fans is Shmeev. So it's okay.
Perfect. Yeah, it was a really good video. I was happy to also be included in helping with the purchase of it. That was nice of you all to include me because
Mike, every guest for Juggalo June besides Mike was involved in getting him the CD. So all the three warm-hearted people you've heard on this podcast, Aaron, Eric, and Shmeev, all of them got it to Mike because we care about Mr. Spoon.
We care about Mr. Spork.
Yeah, he's really great. He's supposed to be the next guest for Juggalo June. I don't know if anybody knows that but me. But he's the hardest person to get on a recording schedule I've ever dealt with.
Yeah, he seems to be a very packed individual.
No, he's avoidant. He's not packed.
He's avoidant. Uh-oh.
He's avoidant. He's dodging me. He ducks my phone calls. Like, hey, man, when are you coming on the show? And he's like, you know, I think I'm doing something that day. I know damn well he's not doing something that day.
Oof.
But it's okay. It's okay. We got you to get back at your co-host, and I'm going to get him to get back at Shmeev. This is a revenge podcast. These 2 weeks after are the revenge episodes.
This is Juggalo June : the revenge stories.
Yeah. So I'm a little interested in how you met your co-host and how that started working out. Would you like to tell me that story?
I would love to tell you that story. Buckle up, Buttercup.
I got a cat in my lap, man. I can't move.
So Eric and I go back, God, I would say probably about 5 or 6 years now. We met through the local music scene. I was at the time in a band called Ballista, and he was, I played guitar and then later switched to bass in Ballista. And he was and still does stuff currently with his band doing vocals, Hollowed Out. I'm sure y'all talked about it on last week's episode.
I plugged the shit out of Hollowed Out. I fucking love Hollowed Out.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah, no, they're fucking great. But we played a shit ton of local shows together. It was just, we were with each other in the Dallas area, which is where we both lived at the time. Playing shows on weekends. We were with each other in Austin, in Houston, playing shows with each other on weekends. There was a good year and a half period where Ballista and Hollowed Out played shows multiple times a month with each other, every month almost.
So why didn't you ever do a split? What happened?
You know, there's so many. Well, first of all, I'll tell you what happened is that I was in Ballista during their Lazy as Shit era, where we played the same set list for almost 2 years because we just never fucking wrote anything new. But everybody loved that set, and that was like the classic Ballista set. Everybody went crazy. Everybody moshed. One time we found a tooth on the floor after we finished playing. It was a fun set. So why change it? But yeah, so that's kind of why we never did a split, is because Ballista never really wrote anything new for 2 years almost. But also, Comfort. There's just such a wide range of bands in the Dallas area that, you know, we played with Hollowed Out every weekend, but they were like one of three bands that we played with every weekend. You know what I mean? Like, it was such a tight-knit group, you know. You could guarantee that, like, these three, you know, Hollowed Out, Ballista, you know, blah, 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 we're all playing the same weekend, every weekend.
Kind you're going to be there. Like, you guys are like,
yeah,
you're the openers for the touring band that week.
Right, yeah, of course. I mean, not oftentimes not even that. We were just the ones playing. You know,
all local bangers. That's weird to hear in this era.
Yeah, no, we did a lot of all local shows, or like smaller touring bands that would, you know, are around our size, but from Michigan kind of thing would come down.
Do you remember any Michigan bands that came down? Let's see if I can talk shit about them.
God, there was one in particular, but I cannot remember their name for right now. And I can't remember their name. They're from the Michigan area, but I can't remember what city. We played with them once. They're good.
We'll get to it. After this episode, I'm going to drill you about it. I'm just going to send you a bunch of Michigan bands.
Oh, please do. Please do. Also, I just want to hear Michigan bands, so please do. Yeah.
We got like 5 or 6 that are still really good going on.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
So if you guys met via all these local shows and playing and you became homies, what was the, you know, the spark for ICP with Wii? What happened there? How did that come to fruition?
So around the start of the pandemic in 2020, I was not going to work because nobody was. And my drug dealer was going to work. And so I was high a lot. And so I got high one day and I thought of a funny joke about ICP and the phrase ICUP. And so I tweeted said joke and I said, I want to start a podcast about ICP called ICUP with me. And it got its usual 6 likes of the people that understand my stupid fucking humor.
Yo, 6 likes? That's a banger.
Pretty much. Yeah, it got like 6 likes, but it also got Eric to text me and say, hey, I would actually, like, I used to listen to ICP a lot. I was a fan, like, way back when. I would actually be super down to do an ICP podcast if you're down for it. And I said, I got nothing else going on right now, dude. Like, we might as well. You know, always with the intention that we would make this podcast, it would be a fun thing to chronicle a few months of being off of work because of a global pandemic, and our friends will listen to it. We'll get some laughs. And in a few months, we'll be back to playing live shows together every weekend. And it'll be a fun thing that we talk about together that we just don't do anymore because we don't have time because life's back to normal. Well, then the pandemic lasted for 2 years and we started taking this podcast really seriously. I guess I'm getting ahead of myself. We ended up naming the podcast ICUP with We, which I'm wearing on my hoodie right now.
Yeah, that's vintage. That's a vintage.
Yeah, this is vintage ICUP with We merch pre-name change. We changed our name once we started getting really serious about the podcast. And now it's ICP with We. And it's we're having a blast.
You guys have gotten some pretty fucking cool things going on currently and in past. Listen, I'm going to be real. I don't think any juggalos listen to my fucking podcast, and this is going to go over everybody's heads except yours and I. But you guys got fucking D-Lyrical on your podcast? How did that happen, man? That's awesome.
That was insane. So we did a collaboration with Juggalo Judgment on Intelligence and Violence, which is a very, very early split sort of demo between Violent J of ICP and D-Lyrical, another rapper from, you know, just local kid rapper from that area. So we did the review episode, collaborated with Juggalo Judgment on it, and one of us mentioned in the episode, man, what is D-Lyrical doing like right now? Like, it can't be that hard to get, like, it couldn't be that hard to get in touch with him if he's still around. And we kind of like made a laugh at like, oh, yeah, that'd be funny. And after that episode released, right? After that episode released, Jiggles, another amazing homie,
Jiggles has came up in a Shmeev's pot interview too. Shout out.
Hell
Jiggles.
Yeah.
Love Jiggles.
Hell yeah.
Mike avoids me. We're getting Jiggles on the podcast.
Oh, please do. Yeah, please do. In fact, what you need to do is you need to get Mike booked, and then 2 minutes into that one, just have Shmeev or have Jiggles barge in and just be like, get the fuck out of here, Mike. It's Jiggles time now.
He's too nice to do that. He wouldn't do that.
Oh yeah. Jiggles would never do that. But, he reached out to, you know, he DM'd us kind of around the same time as Scotty from Fago Lovers kind of DM'd me. So he DM'd Eric and Scotty DM'd me. And they were both, you know, Scotty was like, hey, I've interviewed D-Lyrical before. Do you want me to hit him up and see if he'd be down to do your podcast? And Jiggles, I believe the conversation to Eric with Jiggles was, because I heard this third hand, was hey, Fago Lovers has done an interview with D-Lyrical before. I have him added on Facebook. Do you want me to, you know, message him? And so Eric said, you know, yeah, this is what Jiggle said. I was like, hey, this is what Scotty said. And Scotty offered to reach out to D-Lyrical for us. And so did Jiggles. Jiggles messaged him on Instagram, Scotty or Facebook, whatever, which one. And Scotty, I guess, emailed him or something because they still had contact information. And Scotty got back to me a couple days later and was like, hey, D-Lyrical's down to do an interview with y'all. Like, here's his like name on Facebook, add him on Facebook and, you know, start talking. And so I said, hey, you know, Eric, this is kind of a real thing.
We've joked our way too close to the sun. We're about to talk to D-Lyrical.
Yeah, we're going to have to answer. And guys, I did an impression of D-Lyrical's mom on our review episode. I want to stress that now. I did an impression of this man's mother on our collab review episode with Juggalo Judgment. So I messaged him on Facebook. He's like, yeah, I'm super down. That sounds sick. It's going to be great. Like, when do you want to do this? You know, thinking that he'd not really have it in the forefront of his mind, thinking that he'd be like, yeah, you know, we'll do, you know, blah, blah, blah. Whenever you're all ready. But he was like, I'm ready whenever. Just let me know. Just like, I can do it this weekend. Just let me know. And I was like, holy shit. Okay, hold on. And so I told, you know, when I talked to Eric about this, I was like, I mean, we both just naturally agreed we have to bring the JJ boys, Juggalo Judgment, back in on this. Like, they have to be involved in this. This is amazing. So we reached out to them. We set up a time. D-Lyrical messaged me his phone number. Big Juggalo flex. I got D-Lyrical's number in my phone.
You're flexing in the wrong group. None of right, us are yeah. Juggalos.
Yeah. We got a time set up. It was Super Bowl Sunday. He listened to the almost 2 hour, or I believe over 2 hour episode in preparation.
Oof.
And I answered for my sins on his mom's impression. He thought it was hilarious. He loved it. But yeah, it was great. It was nuts.
During the preparation of getting him on the show, did your brain go, hey, remember when he made fun of his mom? Like, how soon to the interview did that happen to you?
Okay, yes. So almost immediately after I got in contact with him and he let me know that he was about to listen to the episode.
Did you get scared?
I immediately thought that, and I immediately went over to Discord because we have a group chat on Discord, just a DM chat of me, Eric, and the, you know, Juggalo Judgment boys. And I was like, hey, y'all, he's about to listen to the episode. And then immediately after I sent that, I said, he's going to hear my impression of his mom. And they're all like, oh, shit. I was like, I didn't know this was going to happen. I thought about it pretty quick.
That's a very highly specific fear, but it checks out.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that is said on our podcast as a joke. For instance, recasting, we said something weird. I think we said that we would like blow ourselves if they ever recasted Pirates of the Caribbean and made like this one specific actress Jack Sparrow. And this was like season one of the podcast.
This is before all that happened and all this stuff was going on with Pirates.
Of course. Yeah. This was this was season one of the podcast. This was early into the podcast. And then what do you know it? That exact situation happened. And now I'm going to have to figure out how to blow myself. I'm pissed.
Like, did you figure out how flexible you are? Or is that just like, is that coming soon?
Not anywhere near flexible as I need to. We'll get there. Maybe I'll figure out some sort of apparatus.
We've we've blown away from the traditional bebop setup, so I gotta rein us back in, or else Butcher's gonna be
yeah,
like, hey,
please
man,
do. You know what
the fuck were you doing?
I knew that we were going to, because Eric and I joked about this before I got on. I take things and run. I apologize.
I love it. I love homie chat. I do have to ask a couple hyper-specific questions, though.
Please do.
What was the first experience you had with the art that you make? And you can define that as much as you want to, or as little as you want to.
First experience I've had with the art that I make. That's actually a really good question.
It could be like musically. It could be of the paintings I see behind you. It could be whatever. It could be the podcast if you want.
You know, I would say that I have had multiple first experiences with the art that I make, if that makes sense. In some manner of speaking, I've been making some type of art since, you know, I was a kid. I didn't draw much. I wasn't like classically that type of art focused as a child, but I was a maker. I liked making things, you know, whether it be making my own stuff with Lego and coming up with something like that, or when I got a little older, I would spend time making things out of wood in the garage. I just liked thinking of something in my head and turning it into a physical thing, right? I have a 3D printer. Here's a 3D printed lightsaber that I did on it. I've always kind of liked seeing things. Yeah, I work in construction as my day job. I see things that don't exist come into fruition. It's cool. I like it. And I experienced that young. That was my first experience of my first type of art, I would say. I experienced that very young and knew that working with my hands, doing something with my hands, was going to be something that I always enjoyed doing. I later turned that working with hands into music, drumming, guitar, bass. And I started playing music around 12 years old. It's when I first experienced the type of music that I like. And that's the time, you know, when I first experienced, I guess that was my first touch of who I was as a person, rather than who I was just being raised to be by two people that are already people. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, sure does.
You know, I was raised in a pretty religious household. So like up until 12, you know, 11, 12 years old, the only music I was really exposed to was like Christian contemporary music, hymns and stuff. Right. I would listen to other music that would pop up on the radio and stuff. But, you know, my parents' cars, their radios were preset to KLTY, which was the Christian station here, you know. I knew of popular bands, but I couldn't tell you what they sounded like or anything like that. So I had a very weird experience with music growing up, because it wasn't something I was ever interested in until I found out about music that wasn't, I'm just going to say, boring Christian music, right?
You just lost my Christian demographic.
I'm so sorry. Yeah, I know that there's a huge crossover between you and the Christian church.
They're most of our listeners. That's
I'm
fucked up,
oh,
isn't
I'm
it?
Sure. I'm sure. You know, they're most of our listeners too. So, you know, I just got a text from Eric that said, "Hey, we just lost half our viewership. What the fuck?" Sorry.
hurts, man. I'm sorry.
But yeah, I started listening to shit like, you know, Taking Back Sunday, Nirvana, AC/DC. I was a big AC/DC fan for a lot of, you know, probably like the first 3 or 4 years of being a music fan. I was like, AC/DC was my favorite band.
Buddy, my dad had AC/DC knuckle tattoos.
Oh, hell like, yeah.
That's just
oh,
how
hell
I was
yeah.
raised.
And then it's funny because after that was around the same time that I noticed my dad had just this massive CD collection of music that wasn't Christian music. And I just, it had always been there. It wasn't hiding from me or anything like that. It just, I noticed it around the same time as I started branching out my taste in music as I got older. And he had a, and still has an insane amount of Grateful Dead CDs. And that's when I've discovered I don't really like the Grateful Dead.
I was really hoping it'd turn to that. I didn't want to be like, so you're a Deadhead, huh?
Nope.
How's that?
Nope, not a Deadhead whatsoever. You know, my dad really likes them. Apparently, I've never brought it up to him because I don't even want to talk about the Grateful Dead.
Yeah, this is the most I've discussed them in at least 4 years. I'm all right.
I'm sure. But yeah, so that was kind of, you know, general first experiences with that type of art. You know, the type of music I wanted to play growing up. The type of music I've always wanted to play, which has always, you know, I've gone from playing that, and I've sort of always been, other than a few gap years, in bands or involved in music in some type of way, whether it be guitar music, rap music, I don't know.
So let's say, what was the band that you found and you were like, holy shit, this is for me, this is my music, this is like the end all, like this is what I want, and it opened up a whole world for you? What was the starter band?
Okay, so that starter band was Under Oath.
Oh shit, I'm also Christian.
So again, grew up in a very religious household. When my parents started to see that I was branching out and trying, you know, listening to my own music and experiencing, you know, secular art, if you will.
Yeah. What did they give you Under Oath?
Yeah. So they didn't want to stifle the fact that I liked that stuff, but they wanted to sort of usher me into the Christian versions of that stuff. Right. Reliant K, Under Oath, you know,
Skillet.
Absolutely. Yeah. Toby Mac. Anyways, they gave me this compilation CD of just alt Christian songs, different artists.
Was there a Filey song on there?
I'm sure there was. I don't remember a single thing. I remember I was washing my dad's truck on a Saturday during the day. I had that CD in my CD player. I was flinging around the hose, getting that water everywhere with the electronics all over me, you know, just having a great time. Personal CD player, some headphones, and A Boy Brushed in Red, Living in Black and White came on. And I said, I mean, it was as if an entire new world just like, boom, exploded into existence right before my eyes. It was nuts. I've never looked at music the same way as I did. I mean, I was playing, like, I had guitar, you know, I took guitar lessons. I listened to other music. Music was cool up until that point, but that was when I was like, I want to play in bands. I want to do music. I want to perform. Like, this is me right here, you know?
It's so weird that we're connecting on different levels because, like, They're Only Chasing Safety was a huge album for me.
Oh, like, I'm sure. Yeah.
I wasn't even Christian. Like, that's the thing. Like, that album was just big for me because Under Oath were big in our age group at the time.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
I ended up getting the chance to see them play that in full, and I don't think, like, I would ever go see them again just because I saw what I needed to see.
Yeah, like, that's nuts.
I love that album, but I don't like Under Oath. Like, as a whole, I'm not a fan because, like, they have a bunch of other stuff that I'm not a fan of. So I can just be like, hey, They're Only Chasing Safety, Lightning in a Bottle, an incredible album, but don't go anywhere else with them.
You know, I would say that Define the Great Line is probably the last Under Oath album that I really fucking enjoyed.
There's some really good songs on it, but compared to the rest of their output, and of course, compared to Chasing Safety, I cannot recommend it to somebody. Because
Chasing Safety is the definitive No Skips album of all time, right? The Changing of Times, the album before that, I love that one. It's a different sound, but When the Sun Sleeps, that song gets stuck in my head all the time, and I have to listen to it to get it out. There's a reason it has 5.3 million plays on Spotify I'm looking at right now.
3.2 million of them are you when it's stuck in your head.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, Define the Great, Lost in the Sound of Separation, it was okay. That was the one that came out right after Define the Great Line, of course, but for those of you listeners that don't know, Under Oath, that one was okay, but that was sort of when they first started to lose me.
Yeah, I saw them a couple times, but like that full album show was just it for me. Like, it was amazing.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, it probably would have been it for me as well. I've seen them once. Here's something that shows how much of an old crotchety piece of shit I am now. I've seen Under Oath once, and I'm talking about, this is my life-defining band, right? Like, I've seen Under Oath once a while back.
Can I take a stab at where you saw them?
Please do.
Cornerstone.
No, I did not. I never went to Cornerstone. I always wanted to. I was making plans to go to the next Cornerstone, and then it never happened again.
Damn.
But I was obsessed with wanting to go to Cornerstone. I would watch videos of Cornerstone all the fucking time.
I've seen a lot of fucking Cornerstone sets in my life.
Hell yeah. But I saw them later, probably when I think I was in college at the time when I saw them. It was at a festival, I believe. Yeah, it was at a festival. And it was right when they weren't doing shit, but they came out, they came out of retirement for a couple things here and there for
That's
a couple
how I
years.
Saw them the first time.
Yeah, so I saw them then, and then like 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, they were playing at a festival that I literally went to. Because Ballista, which I've mentioned before, my old band, they're still current. I do merch for them every once in a while. Check them out. But they also played the festival, and they're like, yeah, can you come do merch for us? I was like, fuck yeah, I'll come do merch. I get there, I do merch, I'm hanging. But here's the thing, when you get to a festival like that, you get there at 9 in the morning when you're playing, when you're affiliated with the festival. And Under Oath started their set at 10:30 at night. I was the fuck out of there at like 4, I think. I had to go home. I was tired as shit. It was hot. It was an outdoor festival in Texas.
Was it fucking South by So What?
Yes. Yeah, it was So What. It used to be called South by So What. So What Music Festival. Yeah, that's what it is.
Oh, they changed their name. I'm on current. Turns out I'm out of touch. I'm getting old.
Oh, I had to be corrected of that. I didn't know until somebody told me this year.
I was like, it can't be South by Southwest. It has to be South by So What. And I'm like, oh, yeah. Shit.
Yeah, that festival is local to me. So a lot of times I find a way to get in without paying. But sometimes I just don't.
When
pay.
I come down to Texas to visit unrelated friends, now I have to come out and fucking visit you.
Fuck yeah.
Where are you? Give a general area. Do not give your address. Yeah. I'll leave it in.
Yeah, I heard that you don't like doing a lot of edits.
Yeah, don't play around. I'll leave it.
I am in I'm north of Dallas. So I'm in the Dallas area, but I'm up north in a city called McKinney.
Okay, cool.
For what it's worth. But
means I have to visit Austin, north. McKinney, and College Station.
Austin's cool. College Station, McKinney aren't that cool.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, dude, they're tiny. That's fine. Yeah.
Yeah.
I live in a town that you can drive through in about 10 minutes. So it's
fine. Oh, God. I wish I could get to the nearest highway in 10 minutes.
It takes 25 to get to the nearest highway from me.
Oh. Oh, yep. The nearest highway for me is 2 miles away. I don't know. I don't know how far away it is for you.
It's like 10. Something yeah. like that. 10, 15. But it takes like 25 minutes because you got to go through a bigger city to get there. And the bigger city speed limit is fucking 25 miles an hour. It's just,
yeah, fuck that.
It's a headache.
Yeah.
So, glomming on to your under oath, did you ever get into bands like Norma Jean or The Chariot? Because those are the two other big, heavy Christian bands that like I like.
Yeah, so I never got super into Norma Jean or The Chariot, but I did just end up seeing them play multiple times just because they played festivals that I would just already be at kind of thing.
I'm wickedly jealous you saw The Chariot more than once, because I only got to see them once before they broke up, and it was probably one of the top 10 shows of my life.
Oh, their live show is nuts. I mean, as somebody that's not even like a huge fan of them, you know, I know the general information about them. I've seen them twice, but their live show is insane.
They opened the show I saw them at with the song Back to Back, and within 30 seconds, my nose had been broken, my lip had been split open within 30 seconds. It was a fucking time. I stayed for the whole set. I'm not going to leave for a broken nose. Like, that shit just happens. Yeah.
No, of course.
Like, but I did back the fuck up and cover my nose, so nothing else happened to me. But
of course.
I got to watch The Chariot do their thing, and I was like, this is so worth it. My nose has never healed right since.
Fuck it. It's worth it.
Yeah, I didn't go into a doctor. It's a little crooked up here. That's all.
Yeah, I've actually got an existing show injury as well.
What happened to you?
I was, are you familiar? Here's another big, I would call this like the fourth band of the big four, O Sleeper.
I have heard the name many, many a times in my life. I do not know what they sound like.
Yeah, they were pretty big, at least in my area. So they actually did a show. It was a secret show at the Door in Dallas, which was my favorite venue growing up. But they did a secret show at the Door in Dallas that me and my friend like begged his mom to take us to, with shout out. She drove 40 minutes from, you know, North Dallas down into the shittiest part of Dallas to take us to this stupid show. The line was around the block to get in. It was, the day before O Sleeper released an album. I forgot which album. I could probably look it up and figure it out, but I don't want to waste time doing that. But the day before, it was the night before the album released, the show was $1. And after they played their set, they're going to hang out like with us and play the entire new album over the PA as like a chill sesh kind of thing. Fucking great, like insane night. During their set, I stage dove, and mind you, I was a smaller boy back then, right? I stage dove, but I still hit pretty aggressively because I wanted to. I kind of threw my weight forward because I was just feeling it so much, and knocked down a couple people, and I fell onto the floor. And ever since that night, my jaw cracks. So that's fun.
Oh, man. Was it worth it now, speaking as a 28-year-old? Was it worth it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, if I would definitely be a healthier human being if I had not done jackass things like that as a younger kid. Because like my shoulders fucked up, my jaw's fucked up, my knees hurt. I've twisted my ankle multiple times. I bruised my tailbone twice. I've gotten 3 concussions.
Are you okay?
No. I'm dying pretty quickly, probably. I don't know. I had a fun childhood, but I wish I didn't have to like put a heating pad on my back as a 28-year-old. You know what I'm saying?
Unfortunately, I mean, fortunately, I do not know what you're saying, dude. Like, I'm glad all my injuries are like my nose has been broken twice or three times, and I can't breathe out of one nostril sometimes. But like that and all the copious drug use has worn my body down a lot. But I'm sober now, and I drink Liquid Death at fucking noon. So it's
fuck whatever. Yeah. Love to hear it. Love to hear it.
Yep. I'm a sober single cat dad. Anybody think that sounds interesting? It's not, because I work like 12 hours a day. I have no time for you. Sucks.
Oh man. Yeah. I've been working a lot recently. It's like, I don't know. I don't know what you do for a living. I don't even know if you want to mention what you do for a living, but
I give vague details about it on the podcast because like, if you really wanted to, you could Google what I do and hone in exactly where I work.
Oh, yeah. No, understandable.
I'm a metallurgist to a degree. I work with various chemicals and metals to make sure that the production of the car parts comes out A1 and they don't have any performance testing issues in the field.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Basically, I take chrome-plated car parts and I fuck them up. I just like I put them through the ringer and make sure that they're okay.
Sounds badass.
It sounds so fun when I tell people about it, but then I get there and I'm like, oh, I gotta fucking do this shit again today.
Oh, like, geez.
It turns into a job very quickly after you get over the fact that you're like destroying things.
Yeah, I feel that. Well, so, and by the way, I totally understand. I try and stay vague about my job online because it is so easy to find exactly where I work, I would say, if you really dug into it. But I in the construction industry we're having a lot of trouble with people not wanting to come back to the office, I guess. I don't know. My company, we've had a lot of turnover recently, and because we've had a lot of turnover, and I fully understand that this turnover is also partially because of the talent that they hire. They don't hire at my company for people, you know, for the long haul. They hire people that want to get, you know, their foot in the door experience and then move on to a bigger company kind of thing. Which sucks, but we've had a lot of turnover, and so because of that, a lot of the extra shit has been dumped onto my plate, which has caused me to, this is the first Sunday that I have not worked at least an hour in probably 3 weeks, I'd say.
If somebody ever told me to work on a Sunday, I'd probably blind them. Like, it's my one fucking day.
That's the thing, though, is that like the only reason I have been working on Sundays is because I know if I don't do at least a few things on Sunday, my Monday is just going to be absolutely fucked. And I've been doing this thing recently where I try and be nice to my future self, right? And by like, you know, doing things.
I have no consideration for future me.
Understandable. Zero. You know, this is a very new development in my life because I have zero consideration for future me, or have had that and up until probably the last couple months. But now I'm like, okay, I'll make my lunch for work tomorrow tonight, and I'll be nice to my future self who can relax and have a second cup of coffee because he doesn't have to make lunch before going to work. You know what
I
mean?
Are you saying you don't just grab like a filet of fish off the counter and go?
You know, I don't have room temperature filet of fish. Is this the good segue into the food talk?
Oh, baby, we're getting there. We are like an hour and three right now. I'm like, food's going to at least be like 20 minutes. We better get food out.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Yeah, I'm very surprised that it took us this long, honestly.
No, but the first words we said to each other when we got into this podcast before recording were food related, man.
Oh, that's true. That's very true. That is very true. I'm somewhat of a food guy. I make jokes about food, I guess, online. I don't know. I guess you could call it that.
I'll give some inside look at the podcast. When we were started, we talked about food, and then I was like, hey, man, I'll be right back. That's because I used ghost pepper sauce last night. I had to go. Like, I had to leave for a few. I flew too close to the sun, and I used too much of it. Usually I can use it and be fine, but we had tacos last night, and I threw that shit all across my tacos.
Oh, that sounds so good, though. One of my good buddies, he plays guitar in the band that I'm currently in. He makes his own hot sauce, Pepper Pat TX on Instagram.
Are you gonna get me the hookup or what? Like, I'm down.
I'm telling you, makes the most solid fucking sauces I've ever had. I have about 9 bottles of his hot sauce in my fridge right now. He also does a ghost pepper strawberry jam that is phenomenal.
I'd try it, but like, that just gave me a lot of hesitation.
Okay, so let me tell you the exact way to eat this ghost pepper strawberry jam, okay? So you get an English muffin, right? You split it down the middle, you toast it.
I do be liking English muffins.
English muffins, fire as fuck. Let's be honest.
You throw a sausage patty on that shit, some cheese, it's like, oh, incredible.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no. You just described what I got at McDonald's like 3 times last week.
Listen, man, that's why I make them that way.
Let's go.
I don't have money all the time, but like, I want a McMuffin all the time.
Fuck yeah. Fuck yeah. Okay, toast up that English McMuffin, right?
Right.
Then you toss down a healthy layer of cream cheese.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Then on top of the cream cheese, you toss down a slightly less healthy layer of the strawberry ghost pepper jam. The creaminess of the cream cheese and the coolness of the cream cheese cuts a lot of the heat of the ghost pepper out of the jam, but it leaves you with a good spice. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I like that.
It's hot, but it's cool.
Like, this week, for grocery shopping, I bought jalapeno cream cheese. I don't think I'd be using that with this ghost pepper jam.
Oh, no, I definitely would not do that. That would be spicy. Have you tried it yet? Is it good?
The jalapeno cream cheese?
Yeah.
Ask me in about 24 hours how it went.
Dope. Okay, will do. Yeah.
I'm about to wake up and make an everything bagel tomorrow and throw some cream cheese on it with that jalapeno goodness.
There's nothing better than good. Let me tell you, everything bagels, Asiago cheese bagels, God tier bagels. You can't convince me otherwise.
There at a local store around here, there is everything Asiago bagels.
Oh, you're talking my language.
Yeah, I love me an Asiago bagel.
Fuck, like, that sounds good. I'll ship you some of my friend's hot sauce. You ship me an Asiago everything bagel. That'll definitely be hard as a rock by the time it gets here.
I'll overnight it. We'll pay like the $20.
Oh, fuck yeah. You know, fuck yeah. So my friend's hot sauce, I put it on pretty much everything that I eat. Including I was making calzones the other day, and I just started dumping hot sauce into mine before I baked it. And my wife was like, you don't have to have hot sauce on everything. This is a calzone. And then I just looked her in the eye, and I took the cup of marinara that I was also preparing to dip it in, and I just started dumping the hot sauce in there, dude. I love hot sauce.
Man, so listen, I also am the fucking weirdo that mixes hot sauce up in their pizza sauce. Like, if I got pizza dipping sauce, there's hot sauce in it, baby. Don't touch it.
It's good. Let me tell you. So the two things I always use, like almost every time I cook anything, is slap your mama Cajun seasoning. Doesn't matter what the fuck I'm making. I could be making an Italian beef sandwich, and I'll put some slap your mama in there. Fuck it. Why not? It's delicious. And hot sauce.
Now, for the everyday driver of hot sauce, what is your go-to flavor?
My go-to, like, if Pat's hot sauce did not exist, if I were going to just a regular hot sauce, Louisiana hot sauce all the way. Huge Louisiana hot sauce guy.
You know, I've never had it.
Louisiana hot sauce is good. Cholula, I would say, would probably be my second favorite.
I'm one of those Valentina guys. That black label Valentina extra hot
Valentina. Delicious. Mm. Yeah. It's delicious.
If you're in a pinch and you like want some like some good smoky goodness, that's there it is for you. Valentina.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I would say with the hot sauce that I do have with my friend's hot sauce, he makes a Scotch bonnet sauce that is just the most classic. I mean, it's what's comparable to the everyday driver of hot sauces kind of thing. And it's really good.
Damn, I'm excited to try some of this. Pat, what was it? Pat Sauce,
yeah,
TX?
Pepper Pat TX.
Pepper Pat
he, TX. Yeah, so he plays guitar in the band that I'm in currently called the Kinky Bastards. And we also play video games on Twitch. He's one of my best friends. We play video games on Twitch. We talk
every day. Part of your life. You haven't even plugged the Gristle. You haven't even mentioned what you do there.
So I also stream on Twitch. I haven't been doing as much lately because, like I've mentioned before, work has been dominating my time. But twitch.tv/gristlemedia, I stream. I play video games. It's a lot of fun. Did it pretty seriously for a while until I ended up going back to work full time. And now it's sort of just kind of fallen to the side a little bit more. But I've also kind of been focusing on the podcast more recently as well.
You know, I think that happened in a small form already because when we first met, I joined the Gristle Media Discord server just to go to that little sidebar channel that said ICP with we. And
yeah,
I was like, all right, this is where I'm going to talk to some Juggalo homies. And eventually we got too big for the britches and you had to make a full-on ICP with we Discord.
Yeah, there's a point where I was like, okay, I think that we need to stop commandeering the Twitch Discord because, you know, when we started mentioning Discord and you know, doing stuff on Discord, that was when I think we had, I mean, we were surprised that people, like, we mentioned Discord, we were surprised that, like, 2 weeks after we mentioned Discord, somebody hopped in that wasn't Shmeev and Mike, who were already in there because we had already done, like, a collab episode with them at that point.
You know, I came running huge when I heard I could talk to my Juggalo homies all the time.
You were one of the first ones, for sure. After Mike and Shmeev, you were one of the first ones.
I just, what can I say? I wanted to talk to the homies.
Hey, and I'm fucking glad that you did, because now we have a whole Discord of it, and it's like 10 times more active than the Twitch Discord that I have. And that's like myself included. I'm more active in there than I am in the Twitch Discord.
I run my own fucking Discord server. I haven't posted in there in months. I talk to the Juggalo homies every day.
It's a great Discord. It's a really fun Discord.
It is, like, we now have, like, there's people in there, you know, that, like, they're just, like, looking around, but, like, every core, like, group member in there talks every day to each other in there. Like, it's always, like,
oh, yeah,
it feels like a very family atmosphere of, like, how are you guys doing today?
Yeah, it very much so, you know, it started off as a great place that people came and talked, you know, Juggalo-related things, other stuff, and then, you know, people started to find out all the other things that we have in common with each other, right? And it became less about the podcast and more about, like, hey, these are my friends, and, like, we talk every day. We, you know, I know what's going on generally in their lives. They know what's going on generally in my lives. It's just, it became ingrained in a lot of our routines, which is fucking awesome.
Absolutely. I will check in on the homies every morning to see if anything happened.
Oh, yeah. Even on my busiest days, I find myself at least scrolling through and reading that Discord, you know, in the morning at my desk.
Right. Yeah, we have to. It's just part of our days now. And, like, finding out that you and Eric were, like, hardcore kids and you come from that kind of background was, like, incredibly crazy for me because, like, I've never had the Juggalo hardcore crossover in my life, and I grew up in, like, both scenes.
Yeah.
So getting that, like, crossover was very cool for me.
You know, it's really funny because I think that crossover is naturally starting to happen and has been in the past, like, 3 years, I'd say, maybe 2-3 years, because I notice it last, I think, October, the Kinky Bastards played in Houston, and we played a show with a band called Substance, and their drummer was wearing an opaque Brotherhood shirt. And I was like, oh, fuck yeah. That's fucking sick. Like, I was stoked on it. I was super stoked on it. On Friday, this, like, 2 days ago, we played a show, and I was chilling. We played a show in a backyard. I was chilling in a lawn chair, and my other guitarist went to the grocery store and came back and just handed me a Faygo firework. Just, he's like, yo, here you go. I got this for you. And I was like, yo, fuck yeah, dude. That's sick. Thanks. And then, like, other people were like, yo, whoop, whoop, like, when they saw it. And I was like, yo, like, it, the crossover is, it's happening, I think. It's happening.
I think they were whoop whooping at you and not whoop whooping with you. And that's the unfortunate
part. Yeah, maybe. Maybe. Fuck it. I was one with the Faygo firework. Everywhere. I won.
Yeah. Do you like it?
Oh, yeah. I love Faygo firework.
I bought a whole ass case last year. I paid $50 to get it shipped to my door. 24 bottles, baby.
Fuck yeah.
Because it was sold out everywhere.
When we first tried it, I don't think I was super into it, if I remember correctly. Like, when we reviewed it originally, I don't think I was super into it. I think it was, like, a month later after I had had my second that I was like, actually, you know what? This is kind of fucking good. And I had to go back and correct. I had to correct myself on another episode and said, like, listen, Faygo Firework's not fucking bad.
No, it's pretty good. Like, it's very sweet. It's a very sweet soda.
It is.
And you can only have, like, one a day.
Well, and it's one of those, yeah, definitely only have one a day. And it's one of those where, like, amazing ice cold, but, like, the second it starts to warm up, like, it tastes like syrup, you know?
Yeah. Oh, God. Yep.
Yeah.
Now, the usual closer questions of our podcast are going to happen soon, but we decided to save some part of our conversation for the podcast, particularly the I don't know how to say it, the intricacies of the Costco cafe.
Yes, we did. And I'm pulling something up on my phone right now.
Now, I got to know, man, what was our heated conversation going to be like?
So, first off, you assumed our conversation was going to be heated.
I'm very afraid.
I just wanted to have a conversation about the Costco food court because, and to go back here, we had a conversation about food a lot, right?
Right.
And then
we talk a lot about food.
You asked me about if I ever had Costco food. And then I said, you know what? Because before this, we already joked, like, oh, haha, we're talking about food before the podcast. We should save this. Then you asked me about Costco food, and I said, you know what? No, let's save this. Let's save this.
I wanted
never
to
said
your
why.
Opinions on the Costco glizzy.
I never said why, but this right here is why, okay? And I have right
for
now,
the audio listeners, he's pulling up his sleeve to show me a Costco tattoo.
I have pulled up on my phone. I've searched on Twitter at Gristle Media, which is my Twitter at, and then the words Costco food court. Let me read you a selection. January 6, 2019. Who wants to take me to the Costco food court, AKA my favorite restaurant? February 20th, 2019. I die for the Costco food court. And if you don't agree with me, you can get fucked. April 4th. 2019. I've tweeted it before and I'll tweet it again. The Costco food court is my favorite restaurant. April 30th, 2019. Just checking in with y'all. Wanted to let you know that the Costco food court is still my favorite restaurant. Have a nice day. May 8th, 2019. It's been a week since I've been to my favorite restaurant, parentheses, the Costco food court. I hope it's doing okay. I'm going to scroll up here because there are a lot. There are a lot. Here's one. Hulu, no ads, $13. Netflix, $12. HBO Now, $15. Disney Plus, $7. Amazon Prime, $9. Lunch at my favorite restaurant, the Costco Food Court, $2,654. CBS All Access, $6. Totally $2,716 a month. Explain how this was supposed to save us money over cable. I like the Costco food court.
Bangers. I'm gonna go ahead and say that we're in agreement here.
We're in emphatic agreement. In fact, I have a nice photo of me dressed up, big night, going to the Costco food court.
Oh, you look handsome.
Oh, thank you so much. Yes.
You look like a priest.
I have multiple photos of myself with at the food court. I have some videos on TikTok of me at the food court. It's a place. It's my favorite restaurant is what it is, to be precise.
If your town has shitty pizza and you want a real good slice of pizza, go to the Costco food court.
Oh, go to the fucking Costco food court. Can I tell you exactly what the move is?
Yeah, what's the move?
Can I tell you the food court strat?
Yeah, what's up?
Okay, so, you know, usually when I'm going to my favorite restaurant, the Costco food court, I am going also because some shopping needs to happen as well, right? Can we agree on that?
I'm going to be real. Sometimes I go just for the food.
There are times, like, there's a lot of times if there's a Costco near me, like, on my lunch break at work, I'll go to the fucking Costco food court for food, yes. But, like, weekend trips, like, my special trips to the Costco food court, sometimes, it's to buy shit. I get in there, and before I do anything, I make a beeline for the food court, all right? I get 3 dogs, a slice of cheese pizza, and a drink.
3 dogs?
2 of those dogs go directly in, one into each pocket. All right?
All right.
I eat the slice of pizza and I eat one of the dogs. I enjoy my drink. Left pocket dog. That one's for snacking while I'm shopping around the store. I'm burning calories. That store's huge. You know what I'm saying?
Costco's a monolith, man. It is fucking massive.
It's massive. So, I mean, I need to up my caloric intake when I go to Costco. So I have a dog. The left pocket dog is for snacking while shopping.
All right.
I've gotten everything I needed. I check out. I make the long pilgrimage out to my car because, of course, you got to park far the fuck away, right?
Right.
I load up all the shit. And by the time I get in, I say, I've worked up an appetite. Hello, right pocket dog. My snack on the way home. How are you today? You know what I'm saying? I'm just like, that's my strat for Costco food court.
You know, I think I need to start doing this because very, very cool of you to mention the cheese pizza specifically, because that is the prime Costco pizza, is the cheese.
Okay, so people give me shit for liking the cheese pizza at Costco and not just going pepperoni, because normally my default is pepperoni.
Yeah, of course. Like
anywhere else, my default is pepperoni. But Costco, the cheese is just too fucking good. Too good.
Yeah, I always recommend people, like, hey, man, if you're going to get Costco pizza your first time, make it the cheese.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Just listen to me. Cheese it up. It is.
Cheese it up.
Local places around here, like, you know, like an hour away from me, withstanding, in a 30-minute radius, that's the best pizza. Like, you just go to Costco and get pizza. Within a 30-minute radius of me, that is the best pizza.
Damn. I can probably stand out on my back porch and throw a rock and hit 4 pizza places. Actually, I know I probably could. So I live in a very chain and restaurant-heavy area.
Damn, that sounds nice. I really want, like, good access to food. But again, I live in a drive-through town. We only have, like, a McDonald's and a local pizza place who, over the years, have become much worse than they used to be. So, like, I don't go there. But we got McDonald's, we got Burger King. And if you want to drive 15 minutes, we got Taco Bell.
So my struggle is not remembering which Taco Bell that's within 5 minutes away from me has breakfast and which doesn't. Because there's 4.
I think you should, like, go on the building and make a little chalk X on it to
identify. Do a little mark. You're right. Yeah, no, we have like 4 Taco Bells within 6 minutes of me, same amount of McDonald's and Subways, 2 Whataburgers, which is,
I've never had it.
Amazing. Yeah, whenever you come visit your homies and also me, Whataburger.
No, baby, we're getting in and out. Like, it's just how it has to be.
Oh, well, fuck it. We'll do that too. There's like 3 of those around. within probably 10 minutes of me.
I had an animal style fries and a double double when I went to Arizona once. Changed my life as a person.
It's delicious. I have a cousin that lives in the like DC area, and every time he comes to visit, we always get Whataburger or In-N-Out on the way home, like on the way back from the airport from like picking him up. It's always one of those two. And then whichever one we don't get, like we get the next day, almost first thing.
I mean, dude, yeah, you got to try the local cuisine.
I get it. You know, like I said, I grew up spoiled as fuck with the amount of like options of, you know, food that I have so close to me. And it's not something that I really realized until I started getting a bunch of friends like online, you know what I mean? And, you know, somebody would be bummed because they're like, oh fuck, like, you know, Arby's, I want Arby's, but it's 20 minutes away. And that was just a foreign concept to me. I was like, you don't have two Arby's like within 10 minutes of you?
Yeah. There's no Arby's within spitting distance. What are you, a savage?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, I was like, what? I mean, how do you live? How do you live if you don't have four Chicken Express locations?
Are you the guy keeping Arby's in business?
I do love Arby's. I'm the guy that keeping Arby's in business and the one Wiener Schnitzel in our area in business as well.
See, I think, like, I'm judging you right now for the Arby's, but I don't even know what a Wiener Schnitzel is.
Oh, Wiener Schnitzel is fantastic. Can I tell you something? They have something called chili cheese mini corn dogs.
Oh my fucking God. And it's
exactly what you think. It's just like chili cheese fries or chili cheese tots. It's just a mound of mini corn dogs slathered in chili and cheese. And it's fucking great.
I'm going to come out and visit you and ruin my waistline is what I'm hearing.
So my, that Wiener Schnitzel. I'm going to come
home in sweatpants, man.
Oh, no, please. Hey, I'm wearing sweatpants right now. It's optimum. The Wiener Schnitzel in our area is like within walking distance of my parents' house, and they live in the same house that I was raised in. So that Wiener Schnitzel was within walking distance of me my whole life. And that's another restaurant that there's two of them in the Dallas area, you know, in the greater Dallas area, maybe. That's definitely a West Coast place. And I just didn't realize that because I had one near me. I thought everybody, you know, every town had a Wiener Schnitzel.
It's not all towns are created equally, man. I'm so sorry for myself to not know what a Wiener Schnitzel is.
Fantastic. It's definitely worth a try.
Dogs. I'm just thinking about those dogs.
Everything I get there is smothered in chili and cheese because I also get the number, I think it's 3 combo, which is one chili cheese hot dog and one chili cheese burger.
I've never had a chili cheeseburger either, and I'm just thinking I missed out my whole
life. Okay, so there's a restaurant called Scotty P's. It's a local chain here. It's a hamburger restaurant.
Not to be confused with Scotty D of Faygo Lovers, right?
Of course, yes.
Okay.
Scotty P's. Local chain. There's like probably 6 locations total in the North Texas area. They have a chili cheeseburger that is fucking amazing. It is like this big, you know, it's huge. I know the listeners can't see what I'm doing, but it's, you know, it's the size of my fucking head almost. And it is great. It is phenomenal.
I think I would try. I'd try to conquer it, and then I would fail conquering it. And then I'd spend the next day and a half in between the bathroom and a sitting chair. I'd be in between both of those.
I understand. I mean, listen, they say everything's bigger in Texas, and I think that really genuinely applies to the food. You know what I mean?
I got to come out.
Like, it's great. Like, it's for myself as a large man, it's a dream.
Yeah, I mean, the listeners probably know this. They know who I am because only my friends listen to this shit. I'm a big dude, so like I want to come out and eat some big food.
Oh, I mean, listen, you'll have a blast. There's another place called JC Burger House. It's a local place. There's only one of them. And,
so you're saying I can meet JC?
Yeah, I don't, that's a good question. Maybe I don't know if JC is there. I think that was like one of their grandpas or some shit. Who knows? But, they have on their regular menu, they just have the option to, you can order any burger that they have on their menu, a 7x7, which is 7 patties and 7 slices of cheese.
Surely my dormant heart issues will come to pass in Texas if I ever come out. Like, it's in my blood. My family either dies from murder or heart attacks. I'm going to die of a heart attack in Texas. I'm going to tell you that much. If we come out,
if I live here any longer, much longer, I'll probably die very early of a heart attack. Yeah. I need to move to a fucking drive-through town.
I'm going to come out there and we're going to get a 7x7 on the way back from the airport and I'm going to die before we get to your house.
Yeah. Yeah. No, before you even get to the first destination, my house, you're just going to pass out.
I'm going to pass away. Like, there is no telling. I'm going to get that 7x7. I'm going to be like, hey, can you put pickles on each layer, please?
The thing with the 7x7, though, is that, like, the fucking bread ratio is off. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know how much just warm ground beef mixed with cheese that you're eating? Just bites that are just purely beef and cheese?
I was aware. I was very aware.
It's like, don't get me wrong, delicious. Like, I would definitely, if you put, if you said, hey, I'm making cheeseburgers, but I don't have any buns. Are you cool with just eating a mound of meat with cheese on it? I'm like, yeah, let's do it. I'm good. But like, to eat 7 mounds of meat with cheese on it, and only one of which has any sort of bread aspect to it, I don't know.
So they're not Big Mac style where they got them extra buns?
No. Yeah, not Big Mac style.
Oh, man.
That would make it insane.
Yeah. But anyways, so anything else you want to get out here food talk style? I'm going to go out shooting on the hill that dill pickles are the best pickles, and pickles are good.
You know, I used to hate pickles all my life growing up, but I've come around to them in the last 3 years, I think. It's been about 3 years. Fuck yeah. Big fan of pickles.
There's nothing better than going to a gas station, getting your little hermetically sealed plastic bag full of pickle.
I'm not that deep on the pickle train yet. I'm not that deep on it yet.
Because those plastic bag sealed pickles, man, they're sour as fuck, and they're so good. You'll have to check that out. The staff at the food staff at Camp Zool knew me because I was the guy who bought 3 pickles in like 2 hours from them. they had those big pickles, man. And I couldn't stop.
Fuck yeah. Yeah, no, I started my love for pickles with fried pickles. That sort of was my gateway pickle. Other than like before that, I hated pickles.
It took me a decade of pickle loving to get to the deep fried level. And let me tell you, I'll never go back.
Oh, there's nothing better. If you put it like I could eat Thanksgiving dinner and immediately after eating dessert, you put down a plate of fried pickles with some ranch in front of me. I'll be like, yeah, I think I could probably find some room. I could probably find some room. I love fried pickles.
Oh, dude, they're like if a restaurant offers fried pickles, I'm getting them. They're coming to the table.
Fuck yeah. OK, quickly. Thoughts on fried zucchini?
Never had it. Too foreign, too exotic for me. Don't think I'd go for it.
Let me tell you, I forgot what restaurant, but there's a chain restaurant around here that does fried zucchini. Bucky's? No, it is not.
I want to go to Bucky's so bad. That's all I know about.
Oh, Texas. Bucky's is a must. Well, yeah, Bucky's is a must whenever you visit Texas. Zucchini. They do it in strips, and it's super thin, right? But they do it in strips. And they batter it with the same or they crumb it with the same crumbs as like their chicken parmesan. So it's got the parmesan in it. Ooh. And then they serve it with a warm side of marinara. And it is some of the best fried like appetizer food I've ever had. Fried zucchini, chicken parm style with the marinara on the side.
On the same note, if I go to a restaurant or like a chain and they got Saganaki, if you know what that is.
Yes.
I'm ordering the fuck out of it. It doesn't matter. It's coming to our table with another side. I gotta get that fire cheese.
Mine is my always go to appetizer. If I see it on the menu, it's coming to the table is mozzarella sticks.
Oh, man of class.
Fuck yeah. I went to a restaurant one time that had mozzarella sticks, this like the size of like a breadstick, like a huge mozzarella stick, right? The restaurant was called Bobby V's. It's in Arlington. It's still there. And I went with Pat, my hot sauce friend, and his wife and our two friends. And the five of us ate 7 plates of DiMaggio sticks, which is what those mozzarella sticks are called. We went there specifically for them.
How many do you get per plate?
5 on a plate.
I could do 2 plates easy.
Oh yeah. No problem at all.
Let's go.
I go to Sonic. I don't know if y'all have a Sonic in your area. Do you?
The Sonic that we had that was close to my house is now a literal demolished. Like, it's just, they took it down to the nothing. They got
upsetting.
Rid of it.
Upsetting. They have my favorite like fast food mozzarella sticks. I can do a large order of those. It just with nothing. You know, there's a time where my breakfast order at Sonic was a bacon breakfast toaster sandwich, which is Texas toast, bacon, egg, and cheese. And it's just all just warm and gooey and crunchy. It's fucking great. I would get a breakfast toaster bacon. I would get a side of mozzarella sticks. And I would get a Dr. Pepper. And that would be like my 8 a.m. meal.
I could do it. When we got an air fryer.
No shame.
When we got an air fryer, I went to Costco and bought that 2-pound box of mozzarella sticks.
Oh, yeah.
And for lunch, for like the next week, I would just make like a dozen mozzarella sticks. And that's that. Just
don't blame you at all. Don't blame you at all. There's a time, I haven't done this in a while because I just haven't gone grocery shopping in forever. You know, normally I get groceries delivered just because I'm so busy. But if I go grocery shopping, I will get, it's this green box. I forgot the brand name. I think
I see it in my head.
Maria's or something like that. Fried ravioli.
Ooh.
Yeah. No, it's well, so it's called toasted ravioli, which is a St. Louis specialty. It's a St. Louis style food. That's what St. Louis is known for, but it's toasted ravioli. It's a green box. I think the brand is Maria's. I can't remember, but toss that in the air fryer. I get the 4 cheese. Okay. The beef is okay, but I get the 4 cheese. You toss half a bag in the air fryer. You heat up some marinara sauce.
I'm going where this
is
going.
It's, I mean, that used to be, I would like go to Kroger and I would buy 4 boxes of it. Like my grocery order, like grocery shopping would be like, okay, milk, bread, cheese, eggs, 4 boxes of toasted ravioli, a fucking pizza. You know what I was like? It was just part of my regular order. And I would fuck up. I would
get,
like,
the essentials.
Oh yeah. No. That's what, like, my nightly routine for a long time was getting stoned and eating half a box of toasted ravioli that I air fried. If I would have kept it up probably for another week, it would have killed me.
That's why you stopped. That's why work
exactly.
Got too busy for you to go.
But now that we're talking about it, I might pop over to Kroger after this and pick up a box.
Hey, that's fair. I don't know what I'm going to do for lunch today, but I think I'm going to do it big. I think I'm going to do something good.
Got to do something big.
I'm supposed to go hang out with my friend and watch some horror movies. I think I'm going to call her and be like, hey, meet me at the Comeback Inn. They got the best mozzarella sticks in town. I'm thinking about
Let's go. Let's go. That sounds badass.
So wrapping up food, we got into fried foods. There's so many foods we didn't touch, man.
Oh, I know. I feel like we need to do another one just for food at some point.
Quesadillas, burritos, Mexican food.
Oh,
right. Oh,
I eat Mexican food probably 6 times a week.
I want that life, dude. I want that fucking life.
Dude, Mexican living, like, living in Texas, it is just like, oh, you want good Mexican food? Here's a dozen restaurants within 2 minutes of you.
Like, I want Mexican food that I have to go in there and I got to point at something on the fucking menu. I can't pronounce it.
A lot of my coworkers make fun of me because in the morning time, if I haven't had breakfast yet, most like local gas stations around here, like non-chain big national gas stations, most local gas stations around here, they have a taqueria inside of them. And it is just a sweet old Hispanic woman with a hot plate most of the time, right?
See, the best pizza I've had in my life came from a gas station somewhere down in the south. I don't know where
Doesn't surprise me at all. Gas stations are fucking restaurants down here, and you cannot change my mind.
It was called Godfather's Pizza. I'll never forget it. It was the best pizza I've ever had. Oh,
yeah. No, I there's a Godfather's pizza within walking distance of my apartment.
I'm going feral with jealousy right now.
It actually just opened. I haven't had it yet. Are you really saying it's that good?
In my brain, my memory, yeah, it was. But I'm gonna post a better slice after? Maybe.
Are you going to, if I post the logo of it on Discord, would you recognize it?
Yeah, green box, red logo. Like, yeah, I'd recognize it.
Okay, I'm going to make sure we're talking about the same place. I might get this for dinner tonight if it's really that good.
Listen, I need you to tell me if it's as good as I remember.
No, I got you. The best pizza I've ever had was in Flagstaff, Arizona. How crazy is that? I forgot the name of the place. My dad has a photo of the front door on his phone, but we talk about it all the time. It was a wood fire pizza place, which, I mean, as soon as you say wood fire, I'm just like, I'm there. You know, I'm there.
I'm in. I'm running.
But we had a pizza with sliced meatballs on top that was just phenomenal. And then we had a s'mores dessert pizza. Wood-fired s'mores pizza, god tier.
We didn't get into it, but s'mores are my favorite kind of dessert in the world.
Oh, like, okay, yeah, say, love that.
If you're like, hey, man, this is s'mores flavored, I'm buying it. I'm going to eat it. I'm going to try it.
Oh, I'm sure. I don't blame you at all.
At the local Kroger, there's a fucking s'mores cheesecake, dude. Incredible. It's the best cheesecake I've ever had.
I don't think our Kroger has that. What the fuck?
Yeah,
sounds great.
Dude. Ah,
that sounds good. We there's a lot of that we didn't get in. We didn't get into like school lunch food. I have a lot of shit to talk about with school lunch food.
I would pull somebody's arm off in broad daylight for that square pizza. I want it again,
dude. What happened? Did y'all have Bosco sticks?
You know, we had Bosco sticks that were the size of full bread sticks, but when I go to like fucking the supermarkets and shit, I can only find the smaller ones. They're the same brand. They taste
I can't
the same,
find
but they're
any
not big enough.
They don't have any down here, and the website where you can order Bosco sticks does not ship down here. And it is the one like food thing that I don't have access to that I'm pissed about, because I fucking love Bosco sticks. You know, the ISDs around here clearly have some sort of contract with them, right? But you know, to get them into the schools. But like me as an individual, I can't go buy a box of Bosco sticks online. They won't ship it to me.
Here's the plan: you get in good with one of those school cafeteria ladies. And it's easy because they're sweethearts. Always. 10 out of 10.
They absolutely are.
You find one in the parking lot and you're just like, hey, I really need these Bosco sticks. I don't know how much you guys allot for some food, but I will give you $50 right now for a box of them. Go inside.
Dude, I was at 7-Eleven the other day, and the lady that was working the counter left the box of frozen buffalo chicken rollers, you know those.
There's a 7-Eleven 1 minute from my house, very familiar with the rollers.
Fuck yes. Okay, so well, first of all, so take the buffalo chicken roller that has, you know, it's got the cheese inside, right? It's a fancy chicken tube of chicken.
Yeah, I stay away from the tubes of chicken. I learned my lesson one time.
Take that, put it in a hot dog bun,
brother. I got food poisoning real bad from that chicken. That chicken. Oh,
I eat one of those. I at least eat one of those on a weekly basis.
What you do is you get their taco and cheese one, and you get the chili and the cheese. You can just get some. You can, like, they're not going to stop you.
Yeah.
You dip that taco and cheese in that chili and cheese.
Oh, yeah. No, they don't give a fuck if you. You could probably walk in with a mason jar and fill it up with chili and cheese, and they would probably count it as a 50-cent side. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. That's the move.
But she left the box of the frozen buffalo chicken rollers on the counter, and then had to walk away for something. And I was like, I'm about to commit theft. I want this box so fucking bad. I will do anything. Like, fuck, I might walk out of here with this. I didn't, because I, you know,
you're there a lot. It's local, but like the thought.
Yeah. I mean, it is the 7-Eleven within walking distance of my work that I go to a lot. So, you know, wouldn't be the greatest idea, but also how would I explain to people? Yeah, I did. You know, I'm on parole right now because I stole a box of buffalo chicken rollers from a fucking 7-Eleven.
If you're talking to me telling that story, I'm like, oh yeah, that checks out. That's fine.
That's the thing. Like, you know, you and a few of my close friends be like, yeah, you know, because I surround myself with fellow food obsessed motherfuckers. You know what I mean? So, yeah, y'all would be like, yeah, fuck yeah. I would have done the same thing, you know, but like if I would have explained that to anybody else
If I'm in a room alone and they got that taco and cheese, the taquitos, that box in front of me, listen, I might never go back to that 7-Eleven.
That's what I'm saying. Also, that 7-Eleven has Mountain Dew Major Melon on fucking draft. Like,
ours
in
has
the soda fountain.
Tap, just so you know.
Yo, what the that sounds fucking
sick.
Yeah,
we got Red Pop on tap.
Oh, well, I'll pass on that, but.
Man, fuck you.
I have a Red Pop that Eric sent me that I'm saving for our next collab episode with the JJ Boys. It's on top of my fridge right now.
You better make sure that bitch don't expire. They got expiration dates. You better check it.
It's been up there for a couple months.
You better check it.
I'll check it. I'm not above drinking expired product.
No,
I'll tell you that much.
Fagos, you should be. You really should be.
Are they like, do they fuck you up?
Dude, they're liquid, yeah, right?
Yeah.
So when you drink it, anything they touch inside of you turns to liquid. Don't drink expired Fago.
Damn, I wonder what's in like Fago specifically that would fuck you up so bad.
Every time I
now
go
I
to a gas station around here, I see if they have a Fago twist, because that's my favorite Fago, and it's a very rare Fago. And I've been burned 9 times out of 10 usually of looking at the bottle and seeing it expired like 2 months ago, because nobody buys Fago twist, and that's why it's so rare.
Damn.
I haven't had a crisp Fago twist in I can't tell you how long, because they're
expired. Well, so now, like, my worry is that every Fago around here, like, almost nobody carries Fago around here. You have to go to, like, the, straight up, you got to go to, like, the fucking hood to get Fago around here. You know what I'm saying?
You need to check your expiration dates, my guy. If you don't crack it and it don't sizzle, don't drink it.
Right. So, like, now I'm thinking that, like, since it's not something that people buy down here, there's probably hella expired Fago down here. Yeah. Well, I drank that firework that my friend got me the other night without checking the expiration date, and that was fine. It sizzled. Yeah, it sizzled.
All right, then you're probably good. Yeah. All right.
We'll see what this Red Pop does.
Wrapping around back to my podcast is not about food.
Correct.
Sadly, but ending on Fago Talk's pretty good. So what is the worst movie you've ever seen?
The worst movie I've ever seen.
Ever. Like, it wasn't so bad it's good. It was, this is so bad I don't want to watch this again.
Okay, so we're not talking about like cult classic terrible movies, right?
No, we're not talking about The Room. We're talking about bad movies.
Right. Do you remember that movie? It came out pretty recently, and I want to try and look it up, but it's about that like online website that you win prize money for basically fucking killing people and people watch online.
Buddy, is it fear.com?
No.
I'd say fear.com came out in 2001. I don't know how to tell you that.
No, it's not fear.com. It was like a big blockbuster movie. And it's not the one with Daniel Radcliffe with the fucking guns bolted to his hands or anything.
Oh, that's
like that.
Guns Akimbo. That movie fucking rules.
Yeah, no.
You should watch Guns Akimbo.
Yeah. No, Guns Akimbo fucking is dope. I love that movie. It's definitely not that movie. It was, I don't know. Damn it. I'm looking it up.
Yeah, I have to have you look it up. I want to talk in the interim about Guns Akimbo. So Guns Akimbo is a movie with Daniel Radcliffe who he fucks around and finds out, you know, pretty much essentially. He fucks around with this website that like they live stream some like gunfights and murders and shit, and he like, I forget what he does to get it happen to him, but he fucks around and finds out because he wakes up with guns fucking bolted to his hands, and he's now a contestant in this game show. And it's the sickest, dumbest brain turn off action movie that came out that year, and it was so fucking good.
It was fucking sick. Yeah, no, I was a big fan of Guns Akimbo.
Now, Daniel Radcliffe is somebody, like, if he's in a movie, you should probably watch it, because it's going to be fucking weird. He doesn't take good movies anymore. He takes the weird movies. And, like, he did Swiss Army Man, which is he plays a fucking corpse the entire movie. It's fantastic.
I don't think I've seen that one. Have you seen, and this is not for,
This is not the one
that I'm looking up right now. Have you seen Hardcore Henry?
Oh, dude, it made me motion sick.
I was about to say, it made me sick as fuck.
I love Hardcore Henry. It's like, I think my Letterboxd review says this is the greatest movie you've never seen.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because nobody saw it. It fucking rules.
Hell yeah. There's a specific scene I remember. Movie about
website that kills you. Now, there's an anime I know about a website that kills you. It's called Hellgirl. It rules. It's very good. But I don't know this. I feel like I would have seen this movie, man. Like, about a website that kills you. Netflix did a fucking movie about a video game that kills you, and that was pretty awful. Is that what you're thinking about?
No, it wasn't that. Oh, I know what it was. Okay, Nerve, 2016. It came out, damn, it was all the way in 2016?
Buddy, that was 6 years ago.
Fuck. Why did I think, golly, where the fuck have the last 6 years gone? Nerve. I hate it.
N-E-R-V-E.
Yes. So it is, they call, I'll just read you. I'm on the website for it right now.
Yeah, go for it.
2016 American techno thriller adventure film directed by Henry Joost and Ariel Schulman. Film stars Emma Roberts, Dave Franco and Juliette Lewis, and revolves around an online truth or dare game. That's what it was, where people enlist as players or watchers, and you get dares to come up onto your phone. And if you successfully do the dare, then you win like money. I think it was the premise.
You mentioned Emma Roberts, and I'm all in. I'm about to watch this.
So I hated it because it really the way it was shot made me feel very on edge, because I'm not really a heights guy. And there's definitely a scene where just the way it was shot of one of them doing a dare where they're hanging off of like a single 2x4 on a skyscraper, like miles up, you know what I mean? Like,
I see the thing about Hardcore Henry that got me is when he was doing all the jumping and like the fucking scenes like that, my brain could not handle it.
Yeah, that one fucked me as well. I mean, Hardcore Henry was another one that fucked me a little bit, but this one was bad. Like, I was sent on in like almost a full on panic attack during that scene when I saw it in the theaters, and I was like, I fuck this movie so hard. I fucking hate this movie. This movie is my number one enemy for real.
All right. So besides the fact that neither of us can handle heights, is there a movie that's worse? Like, is there like a movie that you couldn't even finish? Because it obviously you had to finish that movie. You went to the theater. Like,
yeah, yeah, so I did go to the theater. I feel like there was a movie that I've. Have you ever walked out on a movie? I feel like there's been a movie that I've walked out on before.
So the movie that I walked out on was the third of the Cornetto trilogy, The World's End. Because that's how I found out I have massive theater anxiety. The lights went down, the movie started, and I had a fucking major panic attack as soon as it started happening.
Oof, yeah.
I don't do theaters because of that. I used to be able to. I don't know why. About 2013, my dormant anxiety disorder that I didn't know was in my brain decided to pop out. And that's why I don't smoke weed anymore either, is because weed triggered it popping out.
Understandable,
and,
yeah.
I smoked weed for a very long time. Not to say that I was a shitty youth, but I was a very shitty youth. I did a lot of drugs. And the sobering moment in my life was having my first major panic attack. And
understandable.
After that, I found out certain things trigger anxiety in me. Like movie theaters, I thought I'd be safe. I wanted to go see the third Cornetto trilogy movie in the theaters opening night. And I got there, had a massive panic attack, and left within the first 10 minutes. So I have walked out of a movie, but not for good reasons.
Like, pre-pandemic, and I think this is probably why this question is so hard for me to answer, but pre-pandemic, I was such, like, a movie, like, I would go to the theater alone once a week. It doesn't fucking matter what was playing. If I would find something that even mildly interested me, I would buy a ticket, I'd get popcorn, I'd, you know, bring smuggling candy with me, and I would have a great time.
Milk duds, though, right?
What's that?
You smuggled in milk duds, right?
Oh, peanut M&Ms is my go-to. Okay.
Great candy outside of a theater, but Milk Duds are something I won't eat outside of a theater, but they're the perfect theater food.
I feel that. A good Milk Dud sounds phenomenal at the theater, for sure. I enjoy just watching a story happen, I think. I really do. Something has to be really wrong with a movie for me to have a negative reaction to it. The most negative reaction I'll make to a movie generally would be like, that was, you know, a waste of 2 hours. I could have watched, you know, next time I'll go watch this a second time rather than watching something like that again, you know?
And wrapping around, because speaking of wasting 2 hours, we've been here for an hour and 54 minutes. I love
Yes,
that.
We have.
I love that we've long hauled this. I want to know, what are your top five favorite movies? Like, what are the five movies that you're just like, these are it for me? They don't have to be in any order, just so you know.
For sure. Attack of the Clones is one. I'm a big prequels guy.
I'm kicking your ass.
I'm a big prequels guy. I fucking love the prequels. Attack of the Clones is one. I'm a big fan of The Big Lebowski is one of my favorite movies.
I'm an ordained priest through the Church of Dude.
Hey, me fucking too. Me fucking too. Let's go. I got my certificate on my computer somewhere. Yeah.
I've used it to marry people twice.
Oh, like, fuck. I've not been able to use mine yet. Rules. God damn, I've not been able to use mine yet. I gotta get on that. So Attack of the Clones, The Big Lebowski, Empire Strikes Back. Yes, I'm putting two Star Wars movies on there. Star Wars is my comfort series.
Buddy, if I could, I'd put Two Evil Deads on my fucking top five. So
I feel you. Stuck in Love. I don't know if you've ever watched that. Starring Greg Kinnear. Fucking cry fest of a movie, but it's my comfort movie whenever I'm like really down in the dumps. You know what I mean?
That's Evil Dead 2 for me. If there's nothing in this world, Evil Dead 2 won't fix for me.
Oh yeah, no, that's exactly what Stuck in Love is for me. It is the most sad, depressing movie ever. But I just need to. It's that movie that I want to watch whenever I'm just at a low point, and I know that the only way to fix it is to just tank it. You know what I mean? And to watch this movie and destroy myself.
I have a playlist of songs that do that for me.
I got a playlist as well, for sure. So Stuck in Love, that would be number three. One movie that I don't really watch that often anymore, but I would say is super iconic in my life, and I would say the last two movies on my list are going to be that. Movies that I don't watch anymore, but that are super iconic in my life, would be the first Anchorman movie.
Oh my God.
I remember where I was when I watched it, and I remember that being that movie, and my next movie as well, a little bit less, but we'll get to that in a second. But that movie and my next movie really cemented in my mind that I wanted to do something in the realm of being funny, you know, and it's something that I wanted to hone in and obsess over and study how to be funny and study comedy and be more of a funny person that enjoys comedy, but also is a student of comedy kind of thing. Yeah. And Anchorman was a big influence of that for me. The next one, also a big influence, but in a different way, would be the movie Airplane, which is something that I watched as a child. Definitely does not hold up now in this day and age with a lot of the jokes that are made, but it is still it's a movie that is based on absurdity, right? It is, you know, sure. In fact, you said earlier something, and I almost said, and don't call me Shirley after whatever the fuck my response was going to be, because that's from Airplane, right? It's just wordplay and absurdity, which is something that I do a lot in my daily comedy with my friends and on my podcast and on my stream and stuff. Yeah. Wordplay and just like making things just so absurd that it is just like, how do we even get there type of funny, you know?
Right.
And that's what that influenced that style of comedy in me a lot. So I would say that is definitely, even though I haven't watched it, I watched it last year, but I don't watch it often. It's definitely one of my in my top five just because of how influential it has been for me.
Hey, that makes complete sense. I saw Blazing Saddles in like 2017 for the first time. Like, it took me that long.
Yeah.
And like, my favorite joke of all time is like, they couldn't make Blazing Saddles today because it'd already be a movie called Blazing Saddles.
Right. For real. Yeah.
Like, people are like, yeah, they can't make stuff like this anymore. And I'm like, yeah, when somebody reads a script, they're gonna be like, is this fucking Blazing Saddles?
Yeah, this is, why are you handing me a script to Blazing Saddles? You're fired. Yeah.
I love Blazing Saddles, but I've never seen Airplane, and they're always mentioned in the same breath. So
they really are. They're pretty much they're not companions to one another, you know, per se, because they don't relate to each other, but
they're cousins.
They're cousins for sure, yeah. Highly recommend going and watching Airplane. It is laughs. A lot of laughs.
I can't wait.
And a lot of, oh God, I forgot that people considered that funny back then.
I'll probably laugh. I'm a terrible person.
Fuck it.
So this is every guest's favorite part of my podcast, where they get to plug themselves, promote themselves, and tell the listeners where they can find them and what they want them to listen to or do. Go ahead, and the floor is yours. Plug yourself, plug anything you want.
All right, nerds, I know you zoned out during food talk, but get the fuck back together. Here's the deal. I do a podcast. It's called ICP with Wee. You can find all of our shit at www.icpwwe.com. Make it your home browser. Okay. That's where you can find our podcast, links to our Instagram, our Twitter, our Spotify playlist link that we have, as well as other great stuff. We are also going to be performing live at The Gathering 2022 this year, on day one, early in the afternoon. We have a podcast meetup event, and we're going to be recording and all that jazz there. Might even have some fun stuff to give away while we're there. Who knows? But that's pretty much what I got going on with the podcast. I also stream on Twitch, twitch.tv/gristlemedia. I go live. I try and go live about 3 days a week and have a blast doing it. You can watch me tweet about the Costco food court occasionally at Twitter @gristlemedia.
Anything else you want to plug and promote?
Not really. That runs the gambit almost. Well, I mean, I guess you can find all my shit at www.gristlemedia.com. So why don't you just do that? Let's just add in a middleman that has everything.
Yep. I'll link both. I'll just put in both your websites and be like, cool, calling it good.
Fuck yeah. Now, whenever I see that I pay Squarespace $30 a month, it's going to make sense.
$15 a website?
About that, yeah. Maybe it's a little cheaper. I can't remember.
I don't have my own website. Well, I do. I have a fucking store for my record label. That's it. I got nothing to promote this week. It's been a slow week in my neighborhood. Grip Hook is recording music soon. I don't know if I'm supposed to say that, but there'll be more Grip Hook soon in the future.
Badass.
They're playing some shows probably in Ohio. Go on their fucking Twitter. They'll tell you where they're playing. I don't live in Ohio. I'm in Grip Hook, but I don't live in Ohio. You know?
Fuck yeah.
What else? I got nothing. Looking around, I can't promote anything. I mean, Target's having a buy two get one free sale for all media. I got some Blu-rays. It was nice.
I'm gonna have to check that shit out.
Yeah, it was cool. I bought the Cornetto trilogy on 4K Blu-ray.
There you go. Look at that.
Right, full circle. Big
full fucking circle.
I got nothing else, so I'm gonna let you guys have a very wonderful night. Thank you for coming on this show to give us the longest talk about food we've ever had.
Thank you for having me, and my apologies for this absurd 2-hour conversation. I had a great time, though. This has been great. Again,
always.
You know what? I'm saying it right now, and the listeners, y'all hear this, and y'all riot if this doesn't happen, all right? I really want to see y'all riot if this doesn't happen.
Oh, no.
Hashtag bring Aaron back. You know what I'm saying? Let's get a second food talk going.
Hashtag bring Aaron back.
Let's get Butcher in on it. Fuck it. Why not?
Yeah, fuck it. Butcher will talk about food. He doesn't care.
Also, if y'all know the whereabouts of Butcher, please let us know.
Yeah, God, may he come home safely.
No, for real though, I did have a great time. Thank you for having me on. It's been sick. It's been a lot of fun.
I love to do this like short little cutoff where I just cut off the podcast in the middle of a sentence.